Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
On the eve of Laetare Sunday, the beautiful prophecy that we heard in the first reading gives us hope and encouragement. It encourages to persevere in our Lenten discipline. Hosea prophesies resurrection on the third day and says that it will be not just for Jesus, but also for us. He will revive us after 2 days. On the third day, he will raise us up to live in his presence. Origen explains that we are raised on the third day by our baptism, in which we die and are raised with Christ. Having been already raised with Christ mystically, we will surely be so physically as well, if we have not lost by unfaithfulness the grace that has been granted to us. If we must pass in the meantime through times of trial and suffering, it is the darkness before the dawn. Let us strive to know the Lord, as certain as the dawn is his coming. If we know the Lord by faith, we will have certain hope that he will come. And this not only at the end of the world in the second coming, but also on the many occasions of need in our life in which he will come to our aid. If we experience drought, that is, dryness in prayer, let us wait for the rain, for he will come like the rain, like spring rain that waters the earth. In the agricultural year of the Holy Land, the spring rains are the last ones before the dry season. So we can understand our Lord here to promise that it will again be as it was before we experienced that dryness. Passover comes in the middle of that period of the spring rains, so that it is also the time of the resurrection and the time of the harvest, first the barley and then the wheat. This is a figure of the end of the world, the time of the general resurrection, which is also the time of the harvest, when the angels, like reapers, will gather into the Lord's barn those who have improved themselves good wheat. But the blessings of the Lord are for those who do his will, and he desires love, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of the God more than burnt offerings. The word translated here, love, can also be translated mercy, as it is in the psalm response, and as it is when Jesus quotes it elsewhere in Matthew's gospel. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous but sinners. And that's just what we see him doing in today's gospel. The one who went down justified from the temple was not the Pharisee who considered himself righteous, but the publican who recognized that he was a sinner. The Pharisee's prayer might seem good. He expresses gratitude to God. He acknowledges that it is God who made him what he is. It looks like humility. But we see that he's not really humble because he despises his neighbor. He says, O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. The Pharisee did recognize that God had made him good, but he thought that the good would remain good and the evil would remain evil, because that is how God made them. For this reason, he lacked mercy toward sinners. He didn't really even think that it was possible. But in reality, we all have the same human nature. We are all children of Adam. If you don't commit the same sins as those people you see on television or hear about down the street, it's only by the grace of God. Left to himself, says St. Lawrence of Brindisi, man is capable only of sinning. He's like the earth that brings forth by itself only weeds, but never wheat. He's like a boat that can go downstream on its own with a swift current, but never upstream. Only by God's grace can we lead a life that merits heaven, and God gives his grace to the humble. As God miraculously brings good even out of evil, so the devil prodigiously brings evil even out of good. He does this by tempting us to be proud of the good we have done and attribute it mainly or totally to our own effort. If you ask successful people how they got where they are, they'll talk about all the hard work that they have, maybe about the talent they have, perhaps some luck in their life. But few of them will talk about God. Few of them will give God credit for what they have. And so, we must recognize that everything that we have is from God. His grace, our gifts of nature, our talents, everything is from him. And we must thank him and also be merciful to our neighbor. St. Basil admonishes us, be on your guard, therefore, and bear in mind this example of severe loss sustained through arrogance by the Pharisee. The one guilty of insolent behavior suffered the loss of his justice and forfeited the reward by his by his bold self-reliance. He was judged inferior to a humble man and a sinner, despite all the works he did. The publican wasn't fasting twice a week. He wasn't giving alms to the poor. But unlike him, he was, or, but the publican, the tax collector, was at least humble. And so, in his self-exaltation, the Pharisee did not await the judgment of God, but pronounced the judgment upon himself. Let us follow rather the example of St. Paul, who wrote, "I do not pass judgment on myself even. I am not conscious of anything against me, but I do not thereby stand acquitted. The one who judges me is the Lord." So never place yourself above anyone, not even great sinners. Humility often saves a sinner who has committed many terrible transgressions. In this way, God draws good out of evil. Sin is the greatest of all evils. But someone who recognizes that he is a sinner can be led to repentance, and a repentant sinner is generally more grateful to God and more cautious about avoiding sin. So perhaps that sinner that you despise will be saved because of humility, and you will not because pride has deprived your good works of all merit. So strive to act for the love of God, setting aside all other motives. Be glad if others fail to recognize the good you have done, because this will help you to do it to please God rather than men. And when you come before God in prayer, seek healing. Do not waste the opportunity as the Pharisee did. St. Augustine says it would have been more worthwhile to inform him by confession of the things that were wrong with himself, instead of keeping his wounds secret and having the nerve to crow over the scars of others. It's not surprising that the tax collector went away cured, because he was not ashamed of showing where he felt pain. If you don't show the doctor where it hurts, if you don't show the doctor the problem, you can't be healed. And so it is that we must show our wounds, the wounds of our soul, to God. And if after a sincere examination of conscience you can find nothing to confess, then thank God for that, as Our Lady did in the Magnificat, knowing that you have been shown a greater mercy by being having been saved from ever falling. Praised be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.